Good morning and welcome, everyone who's still able to walk after a long couple holiday days and everything like that. So it's great to see so many folks here this morning on the Sunday after Christmas, kind of odd first Sunday after Christmas already. And we will open our divine service with the singing of our opening hymn. Let all together praise our God.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, December 26th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. Ron and Janet Estell are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thankfulness for His many blessings. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 389, Let All Together Praise Our God, hymn 389 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works and given them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
To God on high. Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday after Christmas, is from the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of a man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the fifth commandment?
"You shall not murder."
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need.
The epistle reading from Colossians, the third chapter, beginning at the 12th verse, and will also serve as our sermon text. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord,
Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any of the children who'd like to come forward for a children's message are invited to do so at this time. Got your sister coming, Addison. Yeah, okay. Okay, so what day was yesterday? Yesterday was Christmas Day. Now, quick question for you. I know I got some grown-up guy toys, which means tools. Okay. Anybody get toys? Get some toys for Christmas? Some of you like, no? Got clothes. What? Yeah, not just the clothes? Okay, well, that was my second question. I was going to say, who got toys for Christmas? Okay. Wesley, did you get some toys for Christmas? Okay, all right. And who got clothes for Christmas? Okay, so we're gonna do some trading today. Okay? We're gonna trade. I think Lane, since he's saying no, we're gonna take Lane and Ellie. Lane's gonna trade all his presents with Ellie. And Ellie's going to trade all his presents with Lane. Her presents. How would that work? Awful? Even better idea. I've got a better idea than that. How about, okay, we take, let's see, the Boyds, okay. Oh, you want to trade your brother? Okay, all right. You get to trade Wesley for Addison. Are you sure? So you kind of like your stuff. But I mean, like, trade houses, like parents and pets. Are you sure? You don't? No? No? But Addison, she lives out in the country. Don't you want to move out into the country?
No.
No? Well, that is kind of amazing. I am surprised so many of you just don't want to trade with anybody or trade anything. Well, it says, okay, so now you've got to be thinking at this point, now Pastor's going someplace with this. Now, where in the world is he going? Well, I don't know if you were paying attention to the opening hymn. Okay, now let me get over here and find that. All right, because trading is exactly what Jesus came to do. And we looked at that opening hymn, and there's this verse. It was verse 4. He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his own realm. Now, we always think about Jesus coming at Christmas as a baby, and that's right and proper because that's exactly what happened and that's what Jesus did. But he comes to make a great exchange. He comes to be a person so that he can take up all our sin. Everything that we are not, he's going to take. So he's trading with you. He's trading his perfectness and his holiness for all the things that we do wrong, all the mean things we think and all the mean things we say, all the anger and hate that we have. He says, I'll take all of that. I will trade you that. And he says, as a matter of fact, I will go to the cross in your place and I'm going to give you my place in my Father's kingdom. And so he has done the great exchange. He has done the big trade with us. And that's one of the reasons we're celebrating. Because God promised that the Savior would come to trade places with us, to bring us to heaven, so that we might have eternal glory and joy and happiness and live forever. And especially in the resurrection of the dead when Jesus returns again in the new heaven and the new earth. And that is absolutely wonderful. But for all of that to happen, the Savior had to be born for us to take place, to take our place or exchange or trade places with us. And that makes us so very happy that Jesus is trading places with us. That we get what he earned. We get heaven in the place of him. We get to be all God's sons. Boys, girls, men, women, all of us. We get to be God's son. We get to inherit eternal life because of what Jesus has done. Because he has come to do the great trade. The great exchange. So while you get to go home to your own homes, to your own pets, to your own toys and your own clothes, right? You also know that Jesus has come to make the great trade. And that's a good thing. And that is a wonderful thing that each and every one of us are very happy for and that we are celebrating that Jesus has come and trades places with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection, all through which you traded places with us. You take everything that we aren't and give us everything that you are. And for that, we praise your holy name. Thank you for blessing us in such a way and keep us always in your care. Amen. Kids, Merry Christmas, and please return to your seats. And we continue with the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is number 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn 367 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from Colossians, the third chapter. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so I got dangerous questions for everybody this morning. I don't know. You know, you work on this several days ago, and you're thinking about things. And so it's the day after Christmas. The question before us all today is, who's ready to go home? Yeah, that's the question, right? Or, even better question, who's ready to have their relatives go back home? Right? Okay, literally, there is a reason why comedies, okay, like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or A Christmas Story, why they're so popular, right? Because what do these comedies do? They take something that we're all very familiar with, all of our interpersonal relationships, and it's what comedies, it's what comedians do. They take those things, those nuggets that we all know, and they grab hold of them, and they exaggerate it and they satirize it, and then we all laugh at the characters, and maybe we all laugh a little bit about and at ourselves. Right? I mean, a reading like our epistle is very timely, and I thought, wow. I mean, I love the Nunc Dimittis. That's probably one of my absolute favorite pieces of liturgy. And one is, yeah, boy, we get to preach on the Nunc Dimittis and that piece of liturgy, and that's fantastic. And you look at that epistle reading as it was going through the liturgy for today. And I thought, oh yeah. Because Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is a time of joy. And we all know that. And so what do we do? We all take our differences and we work really hard at setting them aside during the Christmas season. And we usually treat our family and our friends with more love than we usually do. And for you little kids, right, that means you're over-hugging grandparents, right? Every little kid probably has one of those, a grandparent who wants to hug you way, way too much. How about our eggnog and beer chugging uncles, right? You know, there's that. And then how about our overly competitive cousins that are there at the Christmas Eve celebration at grandma's house, right? So we work really hard at being nice to one another during this time. But this well-meaning treatment and this love that we show to one another as the body of Christ, as family or as the body of Christ, isn't just for the Christmas season. This is something we should strive for all the time, every day, every week, all year long, right? We live together as Christians in harmony and love, in peace, because of what Christ has done for us. Our opening hymn, as I tried to get across to the kids, reminds us of the great exchange. As the Savior came to bear our sins and give us and make us royalty in return, the gospel reminds us of Jesus fulfilling the law in our place. And the blood that he shed in his circumcision prefigures the blood that he was going to shed on the cross for our redemption. So, post-Christmas, it is a great time to remind ourselves that how we live and how we act grows out of the gospel. It grows out of what Jesus has done for us. This is our response to Christ's actions. So who know and believe and trust in what Jesus has done for us. And I think that's why St. Paul addresses his letter in such a way. And what does he say? He says to his hearers, he says, "Elect of God, holy and beloved." That title of who we are gives us the motivation for living out and living in Christian virtues. God has chosen us, and that's the reason we try and live in this world as Christians. I mean, let's face it, we are chosen by God. We are holy. That means we are set aside for a very specific purpose, and our state of being is one of being loved by God. And it's not an emotion. Love in this sense is not an emotion. It's a condition. It's a state in which we exist. And Christian thankfulness means for us to recall everything that God has done for us. And so when we're thankful to God for his loving us, we remember, well, what has he done for us that we are so thankful for? And at Christmas time is the incarnation, right? We remember his great deeds of mercy in Jesus Christ. And such remembering is our motivation for living out our lives as Christians. Now remember, we don't choose Jesus. He is the one who chooses us. But having been redeemed by Christ in our sanctified lives, we actually do get to make choices. And we can choose to work hard at acting and living like Christians, or we can choose not to do that. So let's face it, that our relationship and our devotion to God shows forth in our attitude and our conduct that we have towards our fellow believers and our fellow man. And how does Paul say this looks? What does it look like? He says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another. And then he goes on, he says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now those are Paul's words. Those aren't my words. Those are Paul's words. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And Paul is writing as an inspired writer of Holy Scripture. That means it's the Holy Spirit's words that Paul is writing. And in other words, those are God's words that are being written down for us. Forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. That's a solid statement on the forgiveness of sins. Mutual forbearance, mutual forgiveness, always putting up with one another. And believe me, I've met me, right? There's going to have to be a lot of that going on. Mutual forbearance, mutual caring for, mutual love, mutual forgiveness, forgiveness of past sins, forgiveness of complaints, and whether our complaints are real or perceived, the Scripture commands us to forgive them. So imagine the complaint that Jesus Christ would have with us. He has the greatest reason for complaining against us, right? What reason is that? He left heaven because of our sin. He could, for all rights, look at us and say, yeah, I left my perfect place in heaven because of you. What do I have to forgive you for? I didn't do anything wrong, and yet I'm the one dying on the cross. Instead, what does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus says. He gives us a clear example for us. So even if there is a reasonable cause for complaint that we have against one another, a quarrel, for example, among Christians, that does not justify a refusal to forgive. Because the love of God covers a multitude of the sins of our neighbor. We find this written in the Lutheran Confessions. Proverbs 10:12 states, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of offenses. That's what the writer of Proverbs says. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of offenses. If dissensions arise among Christians, they should be quieted and settled by calmness and patient endurance. Dissensions grow because of hatred, and the greatest tragedies often come from the most trifling of offenses. And many a civil war has started when there is refusal to compromise. Many heresies of the church have arisen out of a hatred for the clergy. We see that love is to cover offenses, namely other people's offenses. Even though these offenses occur, love covers them up, love forgives, love yields its right, and does not go to the limit of the law. What are the Confessions and St. Paul trying to say to us? Love covers up some of the mistakes of its friends. That is, love puts the best construction even on the most offensive actions of others. And as a common proverb back in the Confessor's day had said, know, but do not hate the manners of your friends. I thought that was an interesting proverb. We all know the manners of our friends. We know them, but we're not to hate those manners. The apostles often speak of this virtue because it's a necessity for preserving domestic tranquility, which cannot exist unless pastors and congregations overlook and forgive many things. Now, that was written by the Lutheran confessors, this, 1500s, 1400s, right in that area. The Lutheran confessions were put down on paper in around 1518. Right? And these guys were battling against dissensions in the church, peasant revolts, all kinds of things going on. And we're taking their words and we're applying them to us today. Right? Where does this then overlooking come from? And it's a good question. It's an excellent question. How is this accomplished? Where does it come from? It comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It comes, I believe, when we don't fight the Spirit of God. And when we drown our old Adam in our baptisms. So what does Paul say? And there was a key little word in there. Let says St. Paul. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it. Don't fight it. Let this happen. Allow it to happen. The peace of Christ doesn't come to you by force, and none of the Ten Commandments can make the peace of Christ work in your life. The peace of Christ only comes through Christ ransoming and the remission of your sins. It comes by the reconciliation that He made through the peace with His Father. It flows out of that. So our behavior, right? We have that vertical relationship, right? And it makes a cross, the vertical relationship between God and us. And then our horizontal relationship between each other, right? Our behavior towards one another is a response, a visual representation of our response to the gratitude of that we have for the grace in Christ that God has given us. And the fact of the matter is, a spirit of humble gratitude toward God has its effect on our relationships with the people who are around us. And the most scary or comforting thing that is written in this verse that St. Paul writes down, and it depends, honestly, where you're at in life, whether you're letting the peace of Christ have its way with you or whether you're not letting it. So it's either going to be scary or comforting, one way or the other, is that as we are dealing with one another as believers, we're also dealing with God. As we treat one another, in that same way we are treating God. When did I see you sick or in hungry or in prison? Jesus says, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Whatever you do, everything you say or do to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you do so understanding that your God's reputation is at stake in our lives and in our conduct. So as we go from Christmas and we head off towards the cross, we remember why Jesus was born. He was born to bring forgiveness to us. He was born to forgive you. And as you remember that, let His love motivate you. Let His forgiveness motivate you to love and to forgive your own brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
Been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for prayer. O Christ, let us each continue to live and express the love of Christmas into the whole year to come. May our forgiving and caring for our neighbors be a reflection of our faith in you and of our thankfulness for the forgiveness and reconciliation you have won for each of us with the Father. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son alone is judge of the earth, who decides all matters in equity and righteousness. Let us entrust ourselves to Christ and likewise delight in the fear of the Lord. Let us not put our trust in princes and leaders of this world, who must judge by what they see and what they hear. We do, though, pray for the health of our local, state, and federal leaders. We ask wisdom be given to them, and we pray that we may honor them for the sake of conscience before you. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, help the sick and the suffering, especially those who desire our prayers. Earl Groak, Norma Edwards, Macy and Lillian Brunchen, and all others that we are naming in our hearts and our minds. Surround them with your love in Christ, and according to your gracious will, heal them. Comfort all those who mourn. Especially do this day we pray for Linda Ray and her family, as Linda mourns the death of her mother Judy. We ask that you would comfort them with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life and a glorious reunion with those whom they love. Lord, in your mercy, grant, O God, traveling mercies to those whose holiday visit is past and who travel the highways yet again. Keep them safe and let their return home be joyful. All these things we commend to your hands, O Lord, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 744, Amazing Grace, 744 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Blessings to each of you. Everything is normal for today. So Sunday school, normal. Adult, kids, Sunday school. Donuts, normal. There are donuts back there and coffee. Not back there, over there. Over that way. Many blessings. And Heather, thank you very much. She's on break from school and is playing some organ for us. So appreciate that very much. And may the Lord bless all of you. Your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.